For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into on a Friday, heading into the Women's Final Four, the Men's Final Four. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona, G.A. Wiley. Grant, need to start with you here first. That was a game last night. I don't think anyone, even the staunchest Clippers supporter, thought they were going to win. Listen, that would have been the case even if the Clippers were fully healthy. Clippers did not have Kawhi Leonard. Put into words your feelings now. And again, we find out that Kawhi is going to be out for a couple of games, but he did work out with the team. So, I mean, this is thankfully, you know, when we've heard things about the Clippers when Kawhi's been out, it could be a game, and then a game turns into the entire season. So that's not the case. So, A, Kawhi's okay, may miss a couple of games for precautionary reasons. That becomes infinitely more okay when you beat the best team in the West. Grant, your thoughts on a big win by the Clippers last night over the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, two things. Number one is Kawhi not having a season-ending injury is always excellent. That's always something that Clipper fans want to see. Obviously, there's a lot of concern when you deal with knees and Kawhi Leonard, especially when it's his right knee, and especially when that's the knee that he had the meniscus surgery on last year, or the cleanup, I guess you could say. So there's always concern there. That's why I was a little bit concerned, but he was out on the practice floor, I guess you could get, you could say, shoot around before the game yesterday against the Nuggets. So he was walking around, he was with the team. It's not like he's on crutches, it's not like he's, you know, back at a doctor's office getting an MRI. So even though Ty Lue was very vague before the game, that's always a good sign to see him out there, and he was on the bench with the team during the game as well. Number two, that was the switch being flipped. That was my question coming into the playoffs, going into the playoffs, playing good teams for the Clippers. Can they flip that switch when they really want to? And they did. I know that Denver was missing Jamal Murray. I understand that. But I hate to say this to everyone, but Kawhi Leonard's a better player than Jamal Murray, and the Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard. And he's way more important to that team, I feel, than Jamal Murray is to the Nuggets. Now, if Nikola Jokic was out, I could understand that. But yeah. Paul George was excellent. James Harden, that was the best he's looked in probably a month or so. He scored. He did have bad efficiency in the second half. He was so efficient in getting Ivica Zubac the ball, who had 14 and 15 last night, and kind of, I'm not going to say he matched Nikola Jokic, but he did just enough to kind of slow the Nuggets down. Ty Lue had a fantastic defensive plan for Nikola Jokic, and I know that he had 30, 17, and 10. Like, it wasn't like they slowed him down. You really can't slow Nikola Jokic down. But without Jamal Murray, they did an excellent job of slowing everyone else down. Aaron Gordon didn't have a good game. KCP hit a few threes late, but it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, everyone else besides Nikola Jokic didn't really have excellent games, and that was the game plan. You know, they threw a wrench in the plan and started PJ Tucker, and they started PJ Tucker on Nikola Jokic, an undersized kind of small ball center on him, and just had Ivica Zubac as the roamer, kind of guarding Aaron Gordon and kind of guarding KCP in the perimeter. So it was a very, very good defensive game plan. And in the last five games, I know I mentioned this, that the Clippers defense has been really bad. In the last five games, this Clippers defense now ranks 11th in defensive rating, which is a big, big change over the past five games. It seems like they're taking that part of the floor very seriously now. And to get a win at home where you lost five in a row, you're coming off a road trip where you went 3-1, to get a win at home against the Denver Nuggets, where a lot of people are predicting that the Clippers could see them later in the playoffs if they do match up, that is a huge, huge, huge win. I would say it's probably the grittiest win of the season just because you didn't have your top player and they still pulled out a victory against one of the best teams in the West.
Gee, I mean, you are used to disappointment following the Clippers. And again, there's no shame, I guess, in losing to the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, the best team in the West, I think still probably the best team in the league. For the Clippers to find a way, again, you know, having not played well at home, having not played well just in total, not having Kawhi, I mean, this could be, and again, we'll see how it plays out, this could be a turning point win for the Clippers. Your thoughts on them finding a way to beat Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets last night?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was very, very happy with Zoo and the way that he actually was getting calls. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Zoo never gets calls. I mean, this is just a constant thing as a Clippers fan. He is always, you know, kind of getting the shaft. I actually told him that in person. He was just like, man, I really appreciate that because I totally do. I don't really get those calls. So the fact that he was getting those was great. But at the same time, you know, he did obviously have the help on this one. I mean, having Jamal Murray out is definitely not the same as having Kawhi Leonard out when you're comparing these two teams. I'm glad for the win. Yay for the W. You know, let's maybe take this and roll with it, right? Take this as motivation of what could possibly come. So that's what I'm hopeful for. I'm hopeful for, like, maybe they look at this and they, you know, use this as a momentum builder to maybe string a few extra wins before the season's up.
Switching gears, again, we have some other big news to get to, but I want to switch gears, talk about the Lakers, because we've talked about this in terms of them finding a way to win, them winning, you know, like 8 of 10, winning 5 straight, going on the road, winning 5 of 6, and just doing all these things that you're supposed to do late in the season to put yourself in a position where you move up the standings. And this is what they did a year ago. When they did this a year ago, they were the 7th seed. And at one point, LeBron was like, I really don't like this play-in tournament. Like, we're the 7th seed. We're a playoff team. Let's just go. And now you're looking at it, and this team has won 44 games, which is, by the way, more wins than they had last season. They're still the 9th seed. So if you're a Lakers fan, thank God for this play-in tournament, because they may continue to win. They may win out. Now, listen, they're not going to win out, but they're just not moving up. Thankfully, the Knicks did them a favor and they beat the Sacramento Kings. So there's now only a half game that separates the Lakers and the Kings. There's only a game and a half now that separates the Lakers from the Pelicans and the 7th seed and the Lakers from the 6th seeded Suns. So they're within striking distance. You know, the problem is with a lot of these teams, especially the Kings, who they got swept by, they don't own the tiebreaker. So that game and a half is really two, or, you know, that half game is really a full game. But you when you don't have the tiebreaker, it puts you in a tough position. So the Lakers' next game is tomorrow at 12:30, actually. It's a Saturday noon game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, a game that they should win. Grant, your thoughts on the state of the Lakers? Again, good when they see the Kings lose and the Pelicans lose. And again, they're really trying to get into that 7-8 spot. I mean, clearly, they would love to be the 6th seed and not be in this play-in tournament. But if you're at least in that 7-8 spot, which is where they were a year ago, and you win that game, you win and advance. And if you lose, you have at least 2 chances to make it into the playoffs. So your thoughts on the way the Lakers are playing right now?
Yeah, they're playing very, very good basketball at the very right time. This is a team that, you know, we all thought, I mean, at least I did before the season, that they'd be probably in the top four. And like you said, Arash, if this was last year, they probably would be in the top five, just based on their record. But, you know, right now it is what it is. The West got better. They're new young teams that have gotten a lot better. Minnesota and OKC have kind of thrown a wrench in that. Dallas is now back in the thick of it. So, it just causes problems for the Lakers down there at nine because everyone else ahead of them keeps winning. Now, I will say these next three games for the Lakers will decide their seeding. Honestly, it'll decide their fate in the terms of seeding because they play Cleveland, and Cleveland has been scuffling very, very badly lately, but they are still a very talented team and will be in the playoffs in the East. So that's a team that you cannot take lightly. Then they play Minnesota, and Minnesota, we all know how good they are. They're competing for the one seed in the West right now. Then you go and play the team that's right behind you, that's won six in a row in Golden State. At home, that's the last game of this three-game gauntlet, I call it, because those three teams are very, very hard to beat, especially with the way the Warriors are playing. So if the Lakers can go 2-1 in this stretch, maybe even sweep it, that would just, I think that would just bode well perfectly for them to get in that 7-8 range, maybe even a 6 range, because I know that they still have to look at what the Pelicans and the Suns are doing. The Pelicans are not playing well. The Suns have a very tough schedule to end the season. So it is a mess, 5 through 9, 10, but I think the Lakers are probably one of the better teams out of that bunch. And I just think that this three game stretch they have coming up here, if they can go 2-1 and if they can go 3-0, I think that catapults them up into that 7-8 range. And that's ideal for them. I've been saying this for a long time. You gotta avoid the 9-10 game at all costs. Yes. Do everything you can, because now if you get in that 7-8, you have two chances as opposed to one. And look, I know Golden State's playing well. I know the Lakers will be at home in that play-in game if it's 9-10, but I would never want to see Steph Curry and Klay Thompson in any elimination game scenario. So I think it's ideal for them to come out of this three-game stretch at least 2-1.
Gee, this play-in tournament, I don't want to say it was controversial. It really did make sense during the pandemic when it was first brought on board, where they kind of had to finish up the season. But, you know, there were teams vying for a postseason berth at that time. And, you know, listen, like, again, LeBron's played really two very memorable games, one against the Warriors and then one last year against the Timberwolves. And he's won both. So, but despite his success, he's kind of not been in favor of this. This has been the first season that I think it's fantastic, because all 10 teams, you even look at the 10th seeded Golden State Warriors. And so, I mean, you're talking about the Golden State Warriors with Steph and Draymond and Klay and all that. They have 42 wins today. So they are going to finish above 500. You have 10 above 500 teams. And so I think this is the year, you know, not so much the case in the Eastern Conference, where when you get past the 8 seed, there's a drop there, and you probably don't really need to have it. But, it just seems like this season in the West, it's really the perfect season, perfect year to have this play-in tournament.
I mean, absolutely. And here's the other thing, too, Arash. LeBron, this isn't for you. This is for the fans.
Yeah, that's true.
This is for the NBA. Like, this is for, I don't want to call it a money grab, but I mean, at the end of the day.
By the way, GA, 100% about the money. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, this, yeah, absolutely. This is a money grab for the NBA, you know, the more, and also the more money for the NBA, the more money for you, my guy. So I love the play-in tournament. I think, like, ever since COVID, I thought this was the greatest idea. Thank you, NBA, for more basketball. I'm good with it. I thought it was great. I get that it's kind of taxing because, you know, there's extra games to be played, et cetera, but this is so phenomenal, and I'm very happy for it. And also, it just shows you how many talented teams are in the West, right? And we get to see those talented teams play in the West. You're right, though. The East, not so much. We all know who the top heavy hitters are in the East. I don't think that that's really something where we need to attack on the extra maybe below 500 teams. But again, more basketball, awesome. I'm all here for it. So I think, like, you know, players, unfortunately, it's like the extra week in the NFL, right? They kind of just need to, you know, tack on and be okay with this because it's coming. It's already here. It's done. It looks like something that's going to stay.
Grant, before we switch gears, I mean, I guess I want to get your thoughts also on the play-in tournament. You know, when it first began in 2020, I thought it was needed. But to Jihei's point, it is good for the fans, but it is 100% a money play in the sense that the league is now doing their TV deal. This will be part of packages that they sell. So whether it is the in-season tournament is a separate package, the play-in tournament could be a separate package where, like, those packages, those tournaments, for example, could be specifically on Netflix, Hulu, like Amazon, something like that. We'll see how all that plays out. But your thoughts on the tournament? And again, I've been sort of split on it. This is the first year, and I'm not saying this just because I'm a Lakers fan, but I'm like, again, thank God that there's an in-season tournament, because if not, at this point, they're not mathematically out, but if you're a Lakers or Warriors fan, your season's kind of done. So your thoughts on the tournament this season and just in general?
Yeah, I think that the in-season tournament's been, the play-in tournament's been awesome. I was going to say the in-season tournament as well, because I think that's really cool too. I know that there's a lot of criticism about that too, but the play-in tournament, in my opinion, I always thought it was a great idea just because you get more teams competitive near the end of the season, right? If you were the Rockets or if you were the Warriors at the 10 seed and there was no chance for you to get the 8 seed back in the old format, you just like chalk it up and rest Steph, Clay, and Draymond and say, all right, we'll go get them next year and tank for a draft pick. But now you have more teams more competitive. The Rockets were actually trying to go for a 10 seed and a play-in spot just like last week. I know they're 3 games out now, but they were actually trying to do that. So you have more teams trying to get into that because, look, guys, last year there was a play-in team in the Western Conference Finals in the Lakers, and there was a play-in team in the finals against the Denver Nuggets. So it works. This play-in tournament, it works for competitiveness. It works for the stars. Look at the stars that will probably be in the play-in tournament. You're going to have LeBron and AD, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. You're going to have Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, maybe. You might have Luka. You might have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. You might have De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis. Those are like some of the best stars that our league has, and you're going to get that for 2 days straight in elimination games. Like, that is just a chef's kiss of postseason tournament play. So it's been very successful, I think. And, you know, I know that we're looking at it through the money aspect, and I'm actually really excited for this new TV deal because we're going to get 2 new teams and we're going to see how they dive into streaming the NBA. So I'm really excited to see that as a guy that's really into technology. So I'm really excited for the play-in tournament's future just because we're going to get a lot more young teams, a lot more teams that are on the fringes that can kind of get in and maybe make a run. We don't know, because 2 teams last year did make a run.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a very exciting time. And as you mentioned, Grant, streaming will play a big part in the new TV deal. Before we head to break, and we have a couple of big USC basketball stories to get into, and we'll get into it in the next segment as well, but Bronny James declaring for the NBA draft, and also he's going to mentor the transfer portal. Again, that's a byproduct of just giving him flexibility if the draft doesn't work out. My guess is because he is Bronny James, the draft will work out for him. Grant, I want to start with you. I mean, this was such a big topic of discussion this season. LeBron, he has to admit that he fueled a lot of this. You know, when he had sent out that tweet, I'm watching League Pass and Bronny can play just as well as a lot of these guys. I'm like, bro can't even get off the bench right now with the USC. So listen, I really do hope for the best for Bronny, but I mean, this is a lot of pressure to put on someone who really did not factor in much to USC this season. And let's be quite frank, USC did not have a good season. So your thoughts on Bronny James declaring for the draft?
Yeah, I wasn't shocked about him entering the transfer portal, but I was pretty shocked about him entering or declaring for the NBA draft just because I don't think his value is that high. Now, maybe there's something going on behind the scenes where you know, Bronny knows that his father, LeBron, is going to come with him wherever he gets drafted. I don't think that's the case. I think LeBron loves Los Angeles. I think he loves the Lakers. He'll exercise that option if need be. So I'm very curious to see how it is. But we got to remember that the draft now is very different from where it was in the past, because you can declare for the draft and then just kind of feel it out a little bit and see which teams are interested and gauge interest. And if not, you can go back to college. So it's actually a pretty – I love that rule. I think that's a really cool rule that they implemented. But, you know, I just think that for Bronny, I would stay another year in school and maybe, you know, I'm not going to say that he's – a bad prospect, but I think that he has the ability to become better, honestly, if he stays another year and gets some more experience at that level, and kind of develop his game. Cause I think he's a raw talent. He's a very good 3-and-D player, but I think he can be a little bit better than that if he kind of develops a little bit more. So it's very questioned. I question it a lot right now because I think that his draft stock is probably really low. I don't know if he'll be a first rounder. I don't know if he'll be an unsigned free agent. Right now, that's kind of where I have him evaluated. But I'm curious to see where this goes, because I think that he'll just feel it out. And if there's nothing really significant, then he'll probably go back to school somewhere and maybe Duquesne. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. I do want to get your thoughts when we come back from break. But I do think it's important to note, as Grant brought up, LeBron has tweaked his stance in terms of saying, I think he wants to share a court with his son. I don't think he necessarily needs to be teammates with his son. So listen, I think if a team out there drafts Bronny James with a first round pick and it's not the Lakers, sure, they think that they maybe have a chance to get LeBron. But Bronny is a grown man at this point today. And I do think LeBron will really cherish being able to go head to head with this. I don't think that they need to be teammates, right? Grant, you're the best. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll talk more about Bronny James, new head coach at USC, when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right. As we mentioned before we went to break, Bronny James has declared for the NBA draft. And that doesn't mean he's for sure going to the draft. He's keeping his options open. But presumably he's also done at USC. He has entered the transfer portal to at least give him some flexibility. This was a big topic of conversation because, again, you know, no knock on Bronny James, but if he was not LeBron James' son, I don't foresee a scenario where he would like opt for the NBA draft after the season that he had. It wouldn't make sense. But you do have a situation where LeBron, and he's kind of stepped back from this recently, but, you know, at the beginning of the season, he was very much like, Bronny can play in the NBA. I'm watching League Pass. Bronny can play with these guys. Like, I want to play with my son. I want to play again. Like, really to the point where, like, you know, if you're a team out there, and I don't know how high he would get picked, but I mean, like, almost like in a draft this week, GA, and you guys talked about this yesterday with Grant, and I would love to get your view on it this year. Again, probably not going to be like a top 10 pick, but I'm just saying, like, in a weak draft class, if you have a draft where you're kind of taking a flyer and you drafting Bronny James could give you an opportunity to get LeBron James for even 1 year, like, I don't know. Like, I'm in that war room and I'm saying, like, what do we have to lose? Like, if Bronny comes in here and he's a bust, well, like, half these guys are going to be busts anyways. I mean, it's a very unique situation. I think that there's no doubt he will be in the draft. I think because he's Bronny James, like this is not something he's going to go back on. Like, there's no way he plays college basketball. I'm sorry. Like that. So that ship has sailed. Like, I don't think when you make this declaration and LeBron's going to be like gassed about it this weekend and he's going to say what he's going to say, like, this is going to be so public. And even from a business standpoint, if you select Bronny James, the number of t-shirts and jerseys and tickets and whatnot. And again, I know it's a guy who may not play, but like you will move the needle for a franchise that is not going to be good. So, I mean, he may even be drafted high. Gee, your thoughts on Bronny James declaring for the draft?
I mean, this is nepotism at its finest, but, you know, good for Bronny, I guess. It'll be good for whatever franchise does draft him, because regardless, there's going to be butts in seats, yeah. Right? You're going to get, like you said, merch is going to be purchased. People are going to want to see this kid and what he can do in the NBA, if he can do anything at all. Let's get real. He's nothing like his father.
No,
I'm just going to flat out say that. He's nothing like his dad. I mean, you're not even starting on SC, so you're definitely not even on that level. That being said, butts in seats, the possibility of getting LeBron James on your squad, having Bronny, even just having Bronny on your squad is having some star power on there in and of itself. I'm just concerned because I feel like this would mess with him. Right, yeah. Like declaring for the draft, and I'm kind of concerned for Bronny, but you know, this is his decision. Like LeBron said, he's an adult; he can make his own choices. So I'm not for this. I think that it would be a better decision for this kid to stay in college, develop, figure yourself out. I do love this new NCAA rule where they don't have to worry about that. Really, like you can declare for the draft and then maybe flimmer around and be like, maybe I'll come back, you know, kind of thing. But Bronny is definitely, I don't feel like Bronny's one of those kids that's like, I'm gonna see where it lands me and then I'll figure it out, you know. So I don't think he'd do horribly in the G League, so that way he could kind of develop his skills.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great choice for him to make as like a teaching ground. But I mean, any place that he goes, there's going to be star power, because even when he was in high school, I mean, everybody packed those gyms just to see him play, whether you loved him or you hated him, right? Like you wanted to see this kid play because he's LeBron James's kid, and he's always going to have that, I think, in his quote unquote arsenal. So I'm looking, you know, congratulations on declaring for the draft. I'm really skeptical. I'm really, really skeptical, and I would just love to see how he does in camp, et cetera, for that. So I'm really, really skeptical on this. I'm feeling for this kid. I hope he does well, but I think this is just nepotism at its finest.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where it really puts him in a very difficult position, because like there would be no one who would be putting that much pressure on someone who was coming off the bench, who freshman. Yeah. Again, we've talked this much about Bronny James and haven't even mentioned that it's been less than a year ago that he had a heart attack. I mean, that he was not with us. I mean, so the fact that he's even alive is amazing. The fact that he's playing college basketball is amazing. I mean, for most people, like, that would be such an amazing accomplishment. And now we're back to the stage where, like, Bronny James is applying for the NBA draft and going to get drafted again for all the reasons that we said, that it's a weak draft class. It's Bronny James. LeBron has very, you know, kind of hinted that he wants to play with the son or be a part of his career, or like, again, it at least gives you a chance to send out a flyer and say, hey, like LeBron, like, would you like your last year? Like, would you like to play with your son? So like, not only are you getting Bronny, but you know, you could be getting LeBron. So we'll see how all that plays out. In other news, as it pertains to USC basketball, they got a new head basketball coach. And as much as we love the former head coach in Dee Enfield, I think Garrett Musselman, when you look at his track record of what he did at Arkansas, back-to-back Elite Eight, Sweet 16, again, last year was a tough year for him. But he, like, even going back to Nevada, leading them to a Sweet 16, which is an incredible accomplishment. This is a very good head coach. And I do think that they made a slight upgrade, and it could be a big upgrade. We'll see. I mean, if he gets USC to consistently perform well, because I think that was the big thing. Yes, Sandy Enfield did lead USC to the tournament. But when you get to the tournament and you lose in the first round back-to-back years, and then you don't even make it to the tournament, you're on the hot seat. And so your thoughts on what USC did with their men's basketball head coach?
Wait, we have expectations for SC to make like the Final Four. No, just kidding.
No,
I'm just joking. Yeah, you know what? Andy made the right move for him, and you know SC has to make the right move for themselves as far as their basketball program is concerned, because now there are somewhat expectations, right, for this program, especially considering the talent that you could possibly get, right, yeah. To go to SC. So, I think it's a great move. I mean, it's not a lateral move. It's actually like a move an upward kind of move. No offense to Andy Enfield, yeah. But like, you know, you have a guy that has been there before. You also have somebody that like can take a new program and bring them up as well in Musk. So I think that this is a great move for out SC's part. Time will tell, because no offense, those recruits that Andy had are dropping like flies. So, you know, the incoming class is going through, a resurgence as well. They like a few of Andy's recruits that committed to SC are like, okay, I'm not gonna go here. Like Andy's gone. I came here because of Andy Enfield. They didn't come here because, you know, Mus is the coach. So, and then you have Collier, you have, you know, a bunch of other guys that are on that, squad that were Andy's guys. And so, you know, this year's gonna be, I'm hoping for Mus is going to be great, because he's going to bring in his guys. It's like any, you know, transition. He's going to bring in his guys. You know, the other guys are going to leave, et cetera. So I think we'll see as far as the transition will go. Do you think that he's actually going to be able to do what he did in Nevada in 1 year, though?
Well, it'll be interesting, because like, as you know, with college basketball, the roster changes year to year. By the way, like the fact that Kobe Johnson, who was a really good player for USC, went from USC to UCLA just shows you how crazy this transfer portal is. And I say that because, like, I mean, the fact that you just go down to your like crosstown rival, that was unheard of a few years ago. So the team will look different. So it's hard to say who's going to come. He's an amazing recruiter. It may take him a year, though. Generally speaking, I mean, when he's gone to a new team, he's had a just kind of like a 1 year transition before he's kind of had his guys there. And again, with the transfer portal, the way things are, it's not going to take him long to bring in his guys. But, you know, can you do that in 1 year? I'm not sure. But, you know, listen, when you talk about like what are the like realistic like expectations for USC. Like, I think you have to get to the tournament, and I know that that's not a simple thing, but I mean that is something that you should do. The other thing is, you know, like make a run like every now and again. You know what USC has never had is what he did recently, where like Mus took like Arkansas to back to back Elite Eights, three straight Sweet 16s. Like, whenever USC has done that historically, like, they've had this amazing run, and then, like, that's it. Like, so, like, Candy Enfield took USC to the Elite Eight, and then followed that up with back-to-back one-and-dones, where they got to the tournament, and they just flamed out in the first game. And then this past season, where they didn't even make the tournament. They were a below 500 team. So if Musselman can get them to a situation where they're consistently good, And again, there's no expectation for the Final Four, but shoot, that would be nice once in our lifetime. But like, so he is an amazing recruiter. And I think if he can get that consistent success going at USC, it's going to be really big for them. So they don't know how good year one's going to be or his first season is going to be, only because we don't know the players he's going to surround himself with. Again, with the transfer portal, it may be a lot of the players he just left or the players he had just recruited. So we'll see how that turns out. I think we already talked about this, but your thoughts on the transfer portal, where the Kobe Johnson story is interesting, where, again, I think it's one thing where someone goes from USC to like Georgia or something like that, but like when you go from USC to UCLA, it's just so odd to me. And I don't fault him. I think it's a good fit for Kobe. And again, his coach left. So like, you know, you should do what's right by you. But your thoughts on the transfer portal, where in your crazy scenario, if you could have a player go from to Duke to North Carolina, it's just wild.
It would never happen.
I know.
I talk about burning jerseys. I'd burn that jersey so quick. I don't think that would ever happen. I think that, I think that rivalry is way too strong. I mean, it's just, that person would get so much. They would never be, I don't know if they'd be allowed on Duke's campus ever again. And vice versa. If somebody went from North Carolina to Duke, I think that they would never be, it would be bad. It'd be great television, which I think this will be great TV, right? For, when SC plays, UCLA, I think it'll be great TV. But I mean, no, it would never happen. I, however, am not anti-transfer portal outside of you going to your rival.
Right? I agree with that.
I think that's great. I think that, you know, you need to go where you need to go. You need to go where you think that it's going to behoove your situation and make your career blossom. And, you know, coaches have been doing it since the dawn of time. They haven't been going to literal crosstown rivals, but they have gone to other schools. You know, like, look at Andy Enfield. He's about to go to SMU. He's at SMU. Like, you know, there's tons of guys that have gone to other schools. So, no, I love the transfer portal. I think it's great. Just don't go to your rival, like specifically North Carolina and Duke. I mean, that's just wrong. But do what's right for you. I'm not anti this, especially since coaches have been doing it since the dawn of time. So I love the transfer portal. I think it's great. I think it's great for this game. If you look at the Final Four, if you look at just the tournament in general, it's been phenomenal. Majority of those guys are transfers, and they're all seniors. 28 seniors.
Yeah.
28 seniors in the Sweet 16. Like, that's unheard. Like, it's crazy. It's awesome. I'm loving the transfer portal. I have nothing against it. I'm very okay with it. I know a lot of people are just, like, poo-pooing on it, but I love it. I think it's great. Same thing with, you know, these kids and their extra years and, you know, NIL and, you know, this is what the NCAA should have been initially, because the NCAA is making money off of these kids. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't these kids be making money off of just their name, image, and likeness? Why shouldn't they be able to utilize their means? And why do they have to stay for 4 years when your coach isn't even staying for 4 years? You know what I mean?
It's like, a great point.
Yeah, like if your coach is going to leave after you committed four seasons to this one coach, and the coach leaves after your freshman year, why should you stay? That's not fair. And why should you have to wait, right? That was the original rule. You had to wait an extra year to be eligible to play. Now we don't have that issue, right? They can, as long as the units transfer, et cetera, like they can play. I love it. Keep this gravy train going. NIL maybe needs a little tweaks, but I'm fine with the transfer portal.
Yeah. And, I mean, listen, they would never impose this rule, but I think we're of the same mindset. We like the transfer portal, just the idea of going to your rival school. So, again, they would never put in this little caveat where, like, there's one school you can't go to. Like, you can go to, like, any school in the country. But if you go to Duke, you cannot go to North Carolina. Same the other way around, USC, UCLA. But they won't do that. GA, before we wrap up for the weekend. Again, what a big Final Four we have, the women and the men. Don't love that there's such a quick turnaround for the women. I get that we have to do it for scheduling purposes, but you know, these women just played not that long ago. But I wanted to get your thoughts before we close out. Let's start off with the women's Final Four. Your thoughts on the two big games that we have tonight, who you think is going to win the whole thing?
Well, I thought it was going to be UConn just because Paige Buckets has gone through the ringer, man. 2 years of injuries, having to come back from that. The first year you get hurt, you're like, oh great, like I'm riled up to go, etc. And then you get a leg injury and you're gone for the year. So Paige has gone through so much, and you can see the difference in what she's averaged in the regular season, and then come postseason, come the tournament, that girl is scoring double doubles every single night. It's crazy what she has been able to do. She's a phenomenal player. She's been like that since the sixth grade, which is, again, crazy.
Isn't that amazing? By the way, there was this tweet where, like, a guy who covers this stuff, and again, sixth grade's crazy to cover, but he's like, this is the best sixth grade girls basketball player that I've ever seen. Remember this name? And I'm like, what an amazing
conference.
Yes, right.
So here's another story that I just read up a few days ago. Caitlin Clark did not get loves UConn.
I love this story. Explain this, because this is obviously, like many young girls, she had a dream of going to UConn and playing for Gino. There was one coach who did not ever come out to see her play.
Not only did Gino not come out to see her, he never talked to her. He never gave her a letter. He never gave her talked to her family and was like, hey guys, like I'm kind of interested, da, 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 like let's figure out a time to meet, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. Squat, bup kiss. I'm like, if that's not motivation,
yes,
I don't know what is. So, I mean, I know that she's not probably a really vindictive person, but if I was Paige, I'd go off. Yeah. I would motivate the troops, et cetera. So I'm looking forward to this matchup. I believe that UConn is getting 2.5, I want to say.
Yes, yeah.
I think they're getting 2.5. But, man, watch out for Paige. I know that also Gino said that he is not trying to contain Caitlin. He has to figure out a way outside of Caitlin. So we'll see what he does, you know, maintaining the rest of the team. But I mean, if that girl goes off for 50, it might be a wrap. So I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm rooting for UConn just because I'm rooting for PG Buckets. But, I definitely, there's a world where I don't know if I can see. I'm torn. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm torn. I don't know. I want to pick UConn, but you never know what Iowa's going to do and how vindictive Clark's going to be. So looking forward to that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, South Carolina is just an all-around great team. They're an all-around greatly wonderful
team. They haven't lost
team
all year. And, gee, the women's college basketball has never been more entertaining. But South Carolina is the dominant team, and it's the one team that we're not talking about because of Caitlin Clark and Louisiana State and Paige Buckets. You go down the list. But all right, GA, you're the best. Listen, we'll do this again on Monday. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again on Monday. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.